It's lunchtime in Central Texas.
Live at one of the year's biggest events. As you can see, the crowd is going wild. Let's see who will have their cake and eat it, too.
It's time for the Press Box.
What are we having?
Just your standard regular lunch, I guess.
Milk?
Soup. Apple juice.
I can read. PB&J with the crusts cut off. Well, Brian, this is a very nutritious lunch. All the food groups are represented. Did your mom marry Mr. Rogers?
No, Mr. Johnson.
Huh.
Now here's your host, Ward Weitz, along with Aaron Sexton.
And it is lunchtime in Central Texas, here on ESPN Central Texas. On a, what is today? Wacky Wednesday.
Come on.
I was about to say, is it Thursday? But
yeah, I'm totally confused. it's been a wild morning around the radio station today, but that's what it's like during football season.
Yeah,
just as soon as I get one project kind of going in the right direction, here comes another one, and I go, oh yeah, I got to do that, and oh, by the way, here comes somebody that needs you to do this.
Yeah, there's
it's fun.
I was thinking, oh, I've got almost all my stuff done. You know,
do you?
For the early week stuff.
There you go.
And I won't have to do much today, but there was other stuff. Mm-hmm. There always is.
That's the fun part about it. You can't get used to doing one thing because there's always something else coming up or something coming in on the news. And seeing the baseball season wind down and Jacob's Texas Rangers making a push with some no-name baseball players.
It's been pretty remarkable. Hillman has been the best player in baseball the last week. Like, it's not even close.
Yeah. Unbelievable.
Grand slams, robbing home runs.
Oh, my goodness.
Just, they can't get him out. The manager for the Brewers, can't remember his name. I can't remember who it is, but he said, we may intentionally walk him four times.
And they might do it.
At this point, I would. I mean, they can't get him out.
It's pretty remarkable what they've been able to do with this piece-together roster that they have. I mean, I really think in their mind that they were going to make some call-ups, get some guys some MLB at-bats, and go into the offseason and be able to reevaluate and see where they were at. I really think that that's what they were. And some of them were call-ups because of necessity, because of injuries and other things that happen. But for the most part, this was the time of year. Okay, what were they at one time? 5.5 games out of the wild card?
Yeah, it was
and
a good bit.
And you're sitting there mm-hmm. and going, all right. At
wasted
this point,
season.
Yeah, at this Waste. Point, we've got to call up these guys, get them some at-bats against Major League Pitching, and
we finally got the one
we'll be
thing
able to reevaluate. And it hadn't worked out like that.
No, we at that point, we were like, we finally got the one thing that Texas Ranger fans, besides winning a World Series, have always wanted, and that's elite starting pitching. We've never had it. Even on the run to the World Series, we had great starting pitching in the postseason, but you saw, you know, Jordan Montgomery just fell off a cliff the next season. His ERA ballooned to 10, and then ended up having to have Tommy John surgery. But we would have... But at that point, we were looking at a wasted season of brilliant pitching performances continuously from Eovaldi and DeGrom and the rest of this starting rotation. But they have turned it around, and they're still in the hunt. It's going to be tough. There's a lot of teams clustered, and they're still behind a couple of games. And when you're talking about multiple teams, there's multiple moving parts, and it just makes it harder, even if you're consistently winning, to make up those 2.5 games. But at least they're in a position to make a run. And 2 weeks ago, nobody in this room thought that was going to be possible.
No. I said they were cooked.
Yeah, me too, 100%.
Yeah, the little rascals is what they're calling them, the young guns for the Rangers getting it done. And, you got to appreciate that. You got to love what they're doing for the Rangers, especially in a position where a couple weeks ago we thought they was just throwing the towel in, but – chance today to sweep the best team in baseball. You know, you've already won the series. That's huge. You can gain even more ground. But the thing
only
that's been
if the teams in front of you lose.
Yeah, that, and that's the thing I was about to say. That's
the bad thing.
That's the very, I guess, frustrating part about this whole little big streak that the Rangers are going on, because they've been very streaky all year long. You know, they go on these big win streaks and they play extremely well, but that comes at a bad time, because when that's happened in the past, the Astros and the Mariners, you know, they stay still. They're not really moving down because of a lot of losses. And the Rangers have been able to ground get a little bit of ground gained on the Astros and the Mariners, but not as lot as much as you thought they would have, you know, in the position of about to sweep the Brewers. And, you know, it's just they've been moving up little by little. But, you know, you got to think, I mean, how much longer are they going to be able to keep this up before the Astros and the Mariners, you know, get on that hot streak and then the Rangers get off that high?
Yeah. Luckily, right now, Astros are in a very difficult part of their schedule. Just got through with the Rangers, lost that series, and they're at Toronto, who's leading the AL East, mm-hmm. by the way, if you're not paying attention, like me, and thought that the Yankees and Red Sox were battling it out for the East like a dope. That's me. But it is the Toronto Blue Jays who are well in front in that division. Yankees and the Red Sox will be the 1 and 2 wild card teams, barring a collapse. And then it'll be the Mariners and the Royals and the Rangers fighting it out for that last wild card spot. But big win by Toronto last night. They score 2 in the 9th to send it to extra innings and then walk it off. Go Toronto. I'm a Blue Jays fan right now.
Well, what I really liked 16 about...
16 games left on the schedule.
Yeah. And what I really liked about the win last night against the Brewers to be ahead in the series was, you know, we've seen the Rangers in the past struggled, especially when they were down in the middle part of the game or in the late part of the game, to put up runs. Well, let's see, Milwaukee put up 3 runs in the 5th, and then the Rangers come out in the bottom of the 5th right after Milwaukee put up 3, and the Rangers put up 4 of their own. And that's something that, you know, I feel like they struggled all year long, putting up a lot of runs in certain innings, especially in the middle or late parts of the game.
Well, this is a different cast of characters.
Yeah, you know.
And it's been helping a lot.
That's a great point that I didn't even think about. But this, like, when they were struggling, it was when Semien and Seager and Adolis were in the lineup. Now they got other people, and they're not struggling.
Consistent bats.
Yeah. It's been pretty remarkable. And if you had told me that you'd lost Eovaldi for the year, you had lost Semien for the year, you had lost Seager for most of the last month, you had lost Evan Carter for the year, and still told me the Rangers would be playing meaningful baseball on September 10th, I would say I take that. I wouldn't want the injuries, but I'd be like, really? That's pretty impressive. And it kind of is.
It's very impressive. Nobody thought that they would even be close to this. And
including me and you.
Yeah. I'm one of those. I raised my hand very high. I thought they were cooked.
Yeah, I would not. I'm not going to lie about that. I waved the white flag about the same time as Ward did on the Rangers season, and I'm glad to be proved wrong so far.
We'll see how it all plays out. They do go back at it today, an afternoon getaway game, 1:35 first pitch. From Globe Life, Kelly on the bump for the Rangers. So see if they can close it out with a sweep of Milwaukee. Wonder if they've had the roof open the past 2 nights. This is a day game. But I think they opened the roof last night because of the night before they had the roof open and it worked out so well. What do you think? Are they going to have it open for a day game today?
No, it's going to be a little too. I think
it's going to be too hot.
Yeah, those even in September, those Texas afternoons can get a little, little bit warm. So I think they'll keep it closed, keep the AC on today for the Rangers and the fans that make it out.
For the sake of superstition, do it.
Open up the roof. That's what I was going to.
Open up the roof.
Yeah, I was listening to ES to. No, I was reading a tweet. It was a tweet from someone. I can't remember who, but they were saying that the roof needs to be open today just so you don't jinx them. Yeah. Like they're winning with the roof open. Let's keep doing it. But I get it. That's why you have a roof. If it's going to be 90 degrees, let's see what it's going to be in Arlington today.
It is 87 at 1 o'clock. at 135 first pitch, 89, 90, yeah. 91, 91. It's closed.
Yeah.
You got to close it.
100%, and rightfully so. If I was there, I'd be mad if they kept that roof open when it was 90 degrees.
How mad would you be if the roof was open and you got the win?
No, that's true. If I would wait till after the game and I would sprint to wherever you file a complaint. If they lost, they won, obviously. Yeah. We'd just sit there and celebrate.
Yeah, I agree.
We all know
I'm right there with you on the don't jinx it.
Yeah, I was about to say, we all know about superstition on this show, right?
Right.
Some more than others.
You know I don't believe in superstitions. Just silly nonsense.
Yeah, whatever.
Guy who turns off his TV if his favorite team's losing. Do that all the time. I'll just switch to YouTube and start watching videos about
they'll come back
about
if I'm
the
not
Texas Rangers, not the baseball team, the actual law enforcement agency. Some great videos on that, by the way, about the early days, things like that. But I have a system where when my team is losing, I immediately quit watching because I think it's my fault because I'm a maniac, apparently.
Well, speaking of that.
I'm absolutely out of my mind.
Speaking about that, me and Lark were talking about on the other show that anytime we've watched the Rangers or kept up with them on the app, you know, they tend to lose. So we were just going to let them do their thing. And last night, I was getting this close to turning on the game to see where they were at against the Brewers. And then I was like, you know, I can't do that. And then I just put on a movie. I was scrolling down to see what was on cable, and I watched for the first time the Shawshank Redemption.
Really?
Yeah, I found them.
That's
I was
the
like,
first time you've seen
that was
well,
the first
you gotta,
time I watched
you gotta,
it.
That's like when we were in our 20s and somebody asking us if we've seen Casablanca. Like, right. No, we ain't watching that old movie. But did you like it?
Yeah, it was. Yeah, I see
it's
now.
It's one
why,
of my favorite of all time.
I see now why it's claimed to be as the best movie of all time. It was phenomenal.
I don't know about that, but it's really up there.
Now, yeah, critics say that is the best because of the acting, the story. Here's
what I do when critics say it's the best. I don't pay attention. When they say it's the worst, that's the first one I'm going to go see.
Yeah, I like the ones where it's like 10% of the critics liked it, but 80% of the audience, you know that movie's an absolute banger and you need to go see it.
That's right.
And that's why I kind of felt good about watching that movie because for the most part, fans rate it very highly as well.
Yeah, that's
it's a classic.
That movie is pretty much universally beloved. It's an amazing movie. I hadn't watched it in a while, but it holds up so well. Like you could I've seen it from beginning to end at least 50 times.
Wow.
I love that movie.
And I think the reason I liked it so much is because, you know, there's not a lot of action, but the storytelling is so good. It, like, kept me on the edge of my seat.
And one part of it is I think a huge part of why people love that movie is because it's hopeful, and most movies aren't. Yeah. You know, most movies are pretty bleak. There's not a lot of happy endings anymore, and that one has, despite it being pretty brutal at times.
It's very dark.
It has a great, amazing, one of the best ever happy endings, you know, like him walking across that beach and it pans out. You know, they don't have to say anything. You don't have to hear what they say. You just know it's a great ending to a great movie.
Yeah. And I was just sitting there getting some of my Baylor stuff done. I was like, you know, what can I do to keep myself from watching the Rangers? Best decision I ever made. And then right after that movie was my favorite movie of all time, Gladiator. So back-to-back,
yeah, I can't
great movies,
that.
Dude. Gladiator is a great movie.
It's a really good movie.
Or you don't like Gladiator?
No.
I wouldn't like put it in my top 10. It'd make my top 50.
That's my
50.
Would make
that's
my
number
top 100.
One.
It would make my top 100.
That's my favorite movie of all time. I've seen that movie about 60 times, and I can quote it word for word. It is a phenomenal movie. But yeah, Shawshank Redemption, saw it for the first time last night. I'd give it a 9.5 out of 10.
All right, there you go.
I thought it was pretty good.
Philadelphia Eagles, Jalen Carter will not miss any future games because of the incident with Dak Prescott. The NFL announced that he was ejected early enough in that game that they'll count that as the suspension of one game, and he will be fined. Other than that, he'll be ready to go against the Kansas City Chiefs. Probably knew that was coming. I mean,
yeah, I was
$57,000 a forfeit of week one check. That's a pretty good knock.
Well, and there was a few people that called it, but I was trying to think who I heard. It was the Odd Couple on our sister station, mm-hmm. Fox Sports Central Texas. Kelvin Washington said the day after, he was like, since he didn't actually play, they will consider that a suspended game.
Kind of figured that would happen.
Yeah, they'll suspend him for one game and fine him, and it'll be the Dallas game, and he'll play week two. And he was exactly right. And that's the thing. You know, I think that's an appropriate punishment.
That's fair.
He's never done anything like this, you know. If it was like something
if
Draymond Green had done this in a game,
oh, it'd been over.
You suspend him for a month. Jalen Carter hasn't had any issues since he got in the league. I think it's pretty fair.
Yeah.
What if you're the Kansas City Chiefs? If I'm the Chiefs, first thing I do is try to heat him up. I'm going at him. I'm talking smack. I'm trying to heat him up and see if I can get him off his game.
100%. Like, you know that he can boil over, and if you can get him to do it, of course. And I'm sure that, you know, the Eagles coaching staff has talked to him about it. Like, they're going to bait you now. Now they're going to try to get you to overreact, so you got to be careful.
Yeah, I'd look at him and spit on the ground just like Dak did, and then I would run for my life afterwards. I'd get out of there.
That dude is one of the most physically imposing people on the planet. Like, he is, he's about 6'3", 310, 320, probably about 8% body fat, and runs a 4.6 40. Like, that's almost a superhero stuff. It's incredible.
And no wonder the Cowboys were breathing easier when he was out of the lineup. Man.
And that's something that Cowboys fans need to keep in mind. They played great. They played close, but Philadelphia was also without their absolute best defensive player.
Right. Let's see. Four games scheduled in the next 23 days. San Francisco has placed George Kittle on injury reserve with that hamstring.
He's just had really terrible luck with soft tissue injuries. He just can't get through a season without missing three or four games, which they signed him to a big extension. I was like, he deserves it. He's one of the best tight ends, but are you going to get your money's worth? Is he going to play enough games? And sure enough, game one, he's already got hamstring problems bad enough for him to be placed on the IR, which means he'll miss the next four games at least.
Yes, minimum four games for that. So they'll be without their tight end. But, give him time to heal, and if you're going to have a chance to make a run, then that's okay, right? So you'll be able to figure it out.
Yeah, they're one of the few teams that has a good enough defense and a good enough depth to still be really good.
I agree, 100%. New York Jets cut Gibson.
Offense, not defense, sorry.
Yes. Cut Gibson after his costly kick return fumble during Sunday's loss to the Pittsburgh Steelers. So you fumble a kickoff and you're out of here. Jets, I'm sorry, you got more problems than Gibson fumbling a kickoff.
100%. But, you know, the easy that's
the easy out.
Of course. Like, it's easy to cut a special teamer to try to get everybody's attention. It's harder to find a good way to get everybody's attention, if that makes sense.
Oh, absolutely. So,
I don't like that they took the easy way and just cut the guy who, you know, like, that didn't cost you the game, guys. There was a lot of other stuff that happened.
Absolutely. So, he's out there. I don't know. Somebody will probably pick him up, if nothing else, for a practice squad, and he may make it back to a roster before the end of the season. It's only week one. Travis Kelce's taking responsibility for the play in which Xavier Worthy was injured in the Chiefs season opener, saying there's no excuse for what happened. I mean, things happen. And I'm not sure, Jacob, you may know this, you may have read it. Did Kelce just run the wrong route? Is that why they collided?
Well, I mean, you look at it, I mean, it was a cross, and they were, I don't know, you would think that it wasn't miscommunication because you got Travis Kelce as a veteran, right? And I think it would probably be more on the young gun side, right? Just not really know where he was supposed to be at. But I tell you what, if I were to run into anybody, or if I could choose, it definitely wouldn't be against Travis Kelce, you know, running into him. He's a bigger guy, right? And, I think it was miscommunication. Just didn't really know what was going on in that play. And you could tell, I mean, their attention was elsewhere on that play. You know, they were looking back, weren't really looking where each other was at. And, you know, I don't know if that was confusion in the huddle before the play, or one person just thought, you know, they were supposed to be in the cross, or they're both supposed to slant through the middle, but they just were on the same route going right. Because most of the time you got one on top, one on bottom, and, you know, you just kind of slant in that way. But they were going head to head. So I don't know. It was ugly. It was terrible. And you got to put a lot of blame there on Travis Kelce, because he got, he gave him a lot of that hurt because he's just a big guy. But yeah, I mean, I just wrap it up as a communication error altogether.
I don't think it's all Kelce's fault. I mean, I understand why he's taking the blame, because he's the veteran there. And he may have ran his route a little bit deep, from what I understand, from what he's saying. He is supposed to run that a little bit shallower and not be a rub route. And it basically turned into a rub route. Only bad thing is, instead of rubbing the defensive back, he rubbed his own player and knocked him out of the game. So I get where he's coming from. But, again, I don't know that I'm looking at that and 100% blaming Kelce on it. Things happen. Now, if both of you are looking in the same direction at the quarterback trying to find out where you are, it's unfortunate, but it happens in the game of football. All right, Dallas Cowboys may be going after a pass rusher, and they get the Giants at home. Let's talk some Cowboys with RJ Ochoa, blogging the boys. He's next on the Press Box.
My house has a new glow. I love my windows. Universal Windows Direct.
Is your AC running nonstop, but your home still feels like a Texas barbecue pit? Old windows could be the reason. Cracked seals, outdated glass, they let the brutal heat pour in and your cold air pour out, unless you upgrade to energy-efficient windows and give your AC a break. Lower your energy bills, boost your comfort, and beat the Texas heat. Call Universal Windows Direct of Central Texas at 254-301-7760. That's 254-301-7760 for a cooler home now. Lower energy bills and comfort you can feel. Universal Windows Direct of Central Texas. Your home and your wallet will thank you.
I love my windows. They've got that brand new home effect. Universal Windows Direct.
Are you interested in an affordable and easy alternative to football game day parking? The Brazos Landing, Waco's locally owned and operated restaurant located across I-35 from McLean Stadium, has the answer. Park with them for a $50 voucher and apply that voucher to your food or beverage tab on game day. Think about it. You're parking for free, and it's an easy walk to the stadium. Call the Brazos Landing today and make a reservation, 254-753-2778. That's 254-753-2778.
Raise your hand if you're a Secretariat fan. At UBO Business Services, Secretariat is our inspiration. Secretariat gave his finest performance in the 1973 Belmont Stakes. He completed the race in a record 2 minutes 24 seconds, winning by a still world record 31 lengths. At UBO, our goal is to outpace our competitors by providing an unparalleled customer experience. Reach out to UBO Business Services by calling Sean Hunt at 254-709-2101 or ubeo.com.
Searching for a new home or dreaming of refinancing your higher rate mortgage? For a limited time, GENCO brings you a low 30-year fixed rate. Just 5.99%, 6.166% APR on new purchases or refinances. Straightforward savings you can count on. But hurry, this is a limited time offer. GENCO, financing your forever home today. APR equals annual percentage rate. Some restrictions apply. See GENCOFCU.org for complete details. Equal housing lender.
Find sports news, streaming, and show podcast at syntechsportsfan.com.
McGregor General Store is an official Purina dealer. From alpacas to zebras, they can help with all your feeding jobs. McGregor General Store also has a large inventory of new fashionable clothing items for men and women, such as Consuela purses and bags, shirts and jeans from Wrangler, Cinch, Judy Blue, and Seven for All Mankind, and Hey Dude shoes.
Plus, check out Tyler Glam Wash Laundry Detergent. Stop by and say hello to Courtney, Katie, and the gang at McGregor General Store on Highway 84 at McGregorGeneralStore.com.
Johnny's Cleaners has been a Temple family-owned tradition for over 50 years. Their main location is in downtown Temple on Main Street, but for your convenience, they have two other drop-off locations, one in South Temple on 37th and one in Belton on East Lake Road just behind the CVS Pharmacy. Johnny's doesn't just do all types of dry cleaning and laundering. They are also experts in special and hard-to-do alterations. Johnny's Cleaners, they aren't satisfied until you are. For more information, go to johnnyscleaners.biz.
Kristen Clements, a realtor with Camille Johnson Real Estate, has been working in the real estate profession since 2013. Kristen specializes in the greater Waco and surrounding areas. Born and raised in Waco, Kristen is a graduate of Baylor University, and she and her husband and three children currently reside in China Spring. If you're looking to relocate and need a hardworking agent to work on your behalf, call Kristen Clements today, 717-3020, or check her out at CamilleJohnson.com.
This is Dallas Cowboys football.
2025.
They're going to blitz Stafford. He throws it to the left.
Only heard here.
Picked up by Bland. He's done it again.
All season.
Look at me. My eye came back home. A house call for Deron Bland.
Sunday afternoon, it's your Cowboys and the New York Giants. Live from AT&T Stadium on this Dallas Cowboys radio network station.
It's the Cowboys and the Giants, Sunday starting with the pregame at 11, here on ESPN Central Texas.
Time to talk Cowboys with RJ Ochoa from Blogging the Boys on ESPN Central Texas.
And welcome back to the Press Box here on this Wednesday. Joining us now, as promised, the one and only RJ Ochoa from Blogging the Boys. Happy Wednesday, RJ. Appreciate the time.
Happy Hump Day, Ward. Thanks for having me.
Cowboys almost get it done against the Eagles. A couple of breaks here and there, and we may be talking a little bit differently about week number one, but when you pause and look back at week number one for the Cowboys, satisfied? Anticipation higher? Where are you at, RJ?
Yeah, I know that. You know, this generally sparks a lot of, wow, the standard has fallen type of responses from people. But I don't know how you can't be pleased. I know when we spoke last week, I mentioned that I thought they would lose, but I thought they would cover. And I don't know that I ever thought they would truly have a chance to win. And again, I know that sounds like a lot of cope, but I think there are a lot of things to be encouraged by. And I think, you know, the most impressive thing to me was probably Brian Schottenheimer, and that's probably why it feels like this team is headed the most north that it has in a very long time. I think as a head coach, he did a phenomenal job of navigating all of the drama. We don't have to relitigate it, and had a team prepared to play football, which was difficult to do. And I think offensively, he had a great game plan, and it just, you know, didn't fully materialize, but you can make an argument that was the hardest game the Cowboys will play from an environment standpoint. And so that they almost won it, I think, deserves a lot of kudos and attaboys.
RJ, what's your initial reaction after the game against the Eagles with the whole running back situation? You feel on board? You see the vision with Javonte Williams?
You know, I think we have to eat a little bit of crow. I mean, maybe not, you know, an enormous amount, but enough to kind of, you know, please the Cowboys. Just, you know, he had the two touchdowns, and I think that's the focus point. But I think he looked really good outside of that. Now, Miles Sanders had the fumble, and everybody wants to focus on that. But ultimately, I think the Cowboys have proven that they may deserve at least a coaching staff. A benefit of the doubt as it relates to these decisions. You know, they decided not to play Javonte the entire preseason. And I'll speak for myself. I rolled my eyes and I pointed fingers and I laughed. And, you know, one game in, the literal smallest sample size possible, they're proving to have been a little bit right in that capacity. And so it's a long season, and maybe we'll see the debut of Jaden Blue or Phil Maffa at some point. But right now, I think they have every reason to feel confident about the way they went about things.
RJ, CeeDee Lamb taking it very personally and getting some outside noise as well about the drops that he had in that game. But if you look at what he was able to do, I get it. You got drops, and that's not what you're getting paid for. But that's going to happen. It just happened on the biggest stage for CeeDee Lamb, didn't it?
Yeah, it's really unfortunate. I do think if you rank the reasons they lost, you probably put CeeDee at the top because and those drops are easy to spot, and I recognize that. But the totality of the game matters. I mean, they went three straight offensive possessions in the second half and obviously all after the Lightning delay without scoring any points. Now, again, you can put a big chunk of that responsibility on CeeDee, and it's easy to say if he had caught this, if this moment, whatever. But it is a team effort, and there's team, you know, credit, and there's team responsibility that is all a part of this. But I mean, this was one of the worst games that CeeDee Lamb has ever played from the Cowboys from a narrative standpoint, but it was still a highly productive game. So I do think that bodes well. I'm certainly not out on CeeDee Lamb. It's just a game that I think he wants a few moments back from.
RJ, I think the biggest beneficial factor for the Cowboys in that game was Jalen Carter spitting on Dak and getting ejected. I mean, that was the Eagles' best defensive player. What were your thoughts when you saw that happen live? I mean, I couldn't believe my eyes. That was just a very outrageous situation that bode pretty well for the Cowboys altogether.
You know, I'm really fortunate that something I care about so much has become a career for me. It's one of the greatest blessings in my life. I would not trade lives or trade professions with anyone, but if you are, you know, in a woe is RJ, you know, sort of place, those moments are very stressful for me because I'm experiencing a lot as a fan, but also, you know, carrying this responsibility of like, what, I mean, sometimes it's obvious what kind of content you create around something. This was a really unique thing. I mean, this was like every alarm bell and emotion in my head was going off, and you know, we're running to try to figure these things out. Do we get an article? What do we say? I mean, do you just title it that he spat on him? It was a very confounding kind of 10 minutes. I haven't seen anyone really bring this up. I recall, Ward might remember this, in 2006, T.O. spit on D'Angelo Hall the week before Christmas. And I was petrified that he wasn't going to play in that game because my dad and I went to it. And so that was really the only recall I had of anything like this. And I think the intensity of it was that it was right away as the game was starting. You know, if this had happened, you know, between the first and second quarter, I don't know that it feels as big as it was. It was unbelievable. And of course, you know, my Florida Gators would have a player who just like hawked a loogie 2 days later. I'm just surrounded by spit at this moment in time from all my football teams.
RJ Ochoa blogging the boys with us inside the press box. And RJ, rumors are out there that Clowney is going to have a visit with the Dallas Cowboys, an edge rusher that has been hanging around the league for a while and probably has a lot of upside left in him. I mean, what do you think about this? Should the Cowboys roll the dice at this point on Clowney?
The Cowboys have the second most salary cap space in the entire NFL. There's no reason, there's no price that Clowney could, you know, pragmatically command that wouldn't be worth it at this moment. I do think, look, I recognize generally among the first to point fingers and criticize the Cowboys. But I've seen some people saying, oh, well, why are they interested in Clowney if they felt like their edge rusher depth was so deep enough, obviously, to make the trade of Micah Parsons? I think this is a case of multiple things being true. I know the pass rush wasn't tremendous against Philadelphia. I know statistically that they were high as a team in pressure rate. I do feel very confident in what they have. I think that Marshawn Nealand played well. It was not Sam Williams' best game, not Dante Fowler's best game. Obviously, it was the first game ever for Donovan Ezeraku. I absolutely believe that Clowney can help. He's an elite run defender. I know we make a lot about what the Cowboys have lost in Micah Parsons, but they lost, you know, one of the very best run defending edge players in the NFL when DeMarcus Lawrence left in free agency many months ago. And so I love this. This is smart. This is wise. And this, look, I am very, very, very far from giving the front office my blind trust. But I will say, if we are evaluating things objectively, since the trade, since their declaration of we want to do things a little bit differently, it took care of Deron Bland, They took care of Hunter Lipke. They showed a lot of fight and a lot of promise, a lot of tenacity in the season opener. And they're working on addressing something that they said was a strength, and not in a gotcha sort of way, but in a way that they realize and feel like it can be better. So I think that they deserve some serious props. I think that they're acting, you know, like a functional football team.
RJ, the Cowboys have the New York Giants next. And I mean, you got to think after week one, a hard matchup, but a well-fought matchup by the Cowboys, you know, this should be a position where the Cowboys let off some steam. You got to think CeeDee Lamb might have a bounce back game. Interesting to see Javonte Williams get back out there, and Dak Prescott to see if he's going to have a good game. What's the biggest part of the lineup or the roster that you're going to be circling and keep an eye on in the matchup against the Giants?
I think it has to be whoever's matching up with Malik Nabers. You know, I mentioned the Florida Gators, a former one. Kyrie Elam had that big play that he gave up to Jahan Dotson, and that's kind of all it takes, right? I mean, if this game is, you know, slow, if you are still kind of finding yourself because you didn't listen to Ward and you didn't play anybody in the preseason, you know, it just takes that one moment, right, for Malik Nabers to have, you know, the 57-yard gain that gives the Giants a position to swing this sort of thing. And so I think that's, you know, with all due respect to the Giants and my fellow Sun Devil and Cam Scataboo, that's really all they have to offer. You're right. It should be an easy win. I don't think anybody needs you to go get any style points. You just got to go get a win, get a divisional win at that. And it sounds, you know, like football cliche. It sounds like football parlance, but it really is a 1 week at a time sort of thing, because you get this win, all of a sudden, if the Chicago Bears are, you know, not going to light the world on fire, you head up to the Windy City next week, you get above 500, and you got to host the Packers. Maybe you get humbled. And so you've got to kind of, you know, set one block at a time. And so if the Cowboys blow them out, great. But I think right now all they need is a win to continue to buy goodwill among people.
Do you think the Cowboys kind of feel in a good position because they get Russell Wilson instead of Dart at quarterback? And look, I know he's a rookie and everything, but we've seen what Russell Wilson has. And I said it yesterday, I think the window's not only rapidly closing, it may be shut already on Wilson.
Oh, this is a window with like those hurricane shutters, you know what I'm talking about, that you like you set up or whatever. I would be more fearful if it were Jackson Dart.
Me too.
And look, Russell's had an amazing career, and this isn't to bag on or dump on him or anything, but Jackson Dart would present, you know, an unknown, would present something. Would be. And I think we have a pretty strong idea of what Russell Wilson ultimately is. I think we all probably think that when Dallas plays the Giants, you know, later on this season, it will probably be Dart at that moment in time. So, yeah, I definitely think this is the weakest, you know, most mundane version of that team that you can face. And in that sense, it comes at a good time for the Cowboys. So I feel for Russell. I loved him so much in Seattle. I know his career's taken a bit of a hit in a lot of ways. But I don't think he instills fear in anybody right now. I will say, you know, Sunday morning before the Giants played, Dallas was listed as a 3-point favorite for this game, and then a 4.5 point favorite on Sunday evening after the Giants lost. And as of Tuesday morning, as of right now, they're 5.5 point favorite. So I think that line would move if it were Jackson Dart, is maybe what I'm trying to say. I think I think Jackson Dart's good for a point just because he does present something that could be lightning in a bottle.
RJ, if you could rate Dak Prescott's performance, whether it was an A+, C+, B+, what are you going with? I mean, I liked the way that he was playing. I thought he did a lot of the little things right. He looked agile. He was moving a lot better than what we've seen him move in the past, making smart decisions for the most part. I mean, stat line doesn't really speak a lot to it, but just sitting down in front of the TV that night, I thought he did a pretty good job.
Yeah, I had a tweet that upset some people on Thursday night and Friday morning about this, because I put some criticism or some blame on Dak for the loss. And the context of what I meant, and I should have been more specific in my wording, is I think Dak was certainly among the best players on the Cowboys. I think Dak was among the reasons the Cowboys were in the game and had an opportunity to win it. I certainly would acknowledge and agree that Dak was let down by drops by CeeDee Lamb and Jake Ferguson. I do think, and I have long, I think, you know, my history on this show would support this, long been a Dak Prescott defender. My ultimate point is that if you touch the ball three times with a 4-point deficit and you come away empty, some of that blame has to fall on the quarterback. And that's just the reality of the game. Is it unfair? Absolutely. And did Dak Prescott get let down by CeeDee Lamb with some of these drops? Totally. But I will say, as we look towards the season overall and the totality of what lies ahead, I absolutely have the highest level of confidence in Dak Prescott. I think we approached this season with some tentativeness, with some hesitation, because we didn't know what version of him was going to be out there. And I think if you did separate, you know, 2023 MVP caliber Dak and 2024 Dak, beyond the fact that the Cowboys were so woeful last year in a number of ways, what we saw last Thursday looked way more like the player who really flirted with MVP, played like the best version of himself, and that bodes well. I said that Brian Schottenheimer was my highest point of confidence. I think as an extension, Dak Prescott was as well, because he was not the main reason they lost. He just, you know, like everybody, had a hand in it.
RJ, what do you think about the Cowboys and Giants coming up this weekend?
I think this should be an easy win. I think that, you know, those are often famous last words. I think it's the NFL and you just never know. I think that the Ravens and Bears both thought they had easy wins wrapped up. And so you do have to play four full quarters. But I think that they'll get this one. And I think that will really – we've seen the tide kind of turn. I think that, you know, the screaming is at a dull and the pitchforks have been put down. And I think if the Cowboys are able to get a win and show some strength and show some might, maybe they do blow the Giants out. I think that will, you know, light the candles in a positive way. And I do think it will allow people to kind of look down the road next week to Chicago and feel confident. I know this morning I looked, and on the subject of betting lines, I mean, Dallas is an underdog, but only 2.5 points in Chicago. So they're already eating into that traditional home point advantage. And again, if you can get to 2-1 and set yourself up with you know, a date with Micah Parsons as Green Bay Packers above 500, the Packers look unstoppable, obviously, and we'll see what they look like tomorrow night. But I think that would carry things through September in a positive way. And 2 weeks ago, that felt pretty unlikely.
What's on the famous RJ Grill for the weekend?
You know what I think I'm going to try, Ward? I've never done this before on my smoker, but I've long wanted to try a pizza.
Nice.
People have suggested it, so I think this might be the time. You know, with the Cowboys playing at noon, that limits options, you know what I mean, as far as what I can do on Sunday specifically. So I'll have to put in the work on Saturday and eat the leftovers, hopefully after the Cowboys get the win.
Sounds good. RJ Ochoa, Blogging the Boys, with us here in the press box. RJ, always appreciate the time. Enjoy the games. We'll talk to you next week.
Appreciate it, Ward. Have a good one.
There he goes. RJ Ochoa, Blogging the Boys, with us inside the press box. Stay right there. More football heading your way.
It's time to drive into fall at Alan Samuels Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram in Waco. Get unbelievable savings on new Ram trucks, Jeeps, and Dodges. The best selection in Central Texas. Price to move. Don't miss the drive into fall event. Only at Alan Samuels, your friend in the car business.
Come by. Let's be friends.
Locally owned and operated, Tejas Land and Title is your full-service title insurance and real estate closing company. Tejas Land and Title provides abstract, examination, closing, and title insurance. They render these services with pride, honor, and ethics to buyers, sellers, builders, mortgage lenders, and realtors. And they'll make your closing process easy. Proudly serving Central Texas from their Temple location, Tejas Land and Title. Learn more at TejasLandTitle.com.
Total Office Solutions is one of the largest locally owned and operated commercial furniture dealer in Central Texas. Their staff of consultants provide project management, layout, design, and turnkey installations. Whether you need chairs, desks, or a complete furniture renovation, Total Office Solutions is your provider of Allsteel, Hahn, JSI, and Gunlock furniture. Total Office Solutions of Waco, where customer service and satisfaction is their number one goal. Learn more at mytotaloffice.com.
There's a lot of synergy between ExtraCo's mission to build people, businesses, communities, and our company's vision, where we are really all about building people.
Because ExtraCo is so committed to building businesses, like, they even pour into this local community. They pour into us all the time. It's just awesome that they would come alongside us to support us, but also pour back into our business. That's really important to us.
To learn more, visit extracobanks.com. ExtraCo Banks is member FDIC.
When we moved to Texas, we were like fish out of water. We didn't know anyone in our neighborhood until our Texas Farm Bureau insurance agent came to the house. She was so helpful and reassuring, a friendly face with that Texan hospitality I'd heard about. When we purchased a Texas Farm Bureau insurance policy, we knew we were making the right choice. We knew our family would be protected.
Call Bubba Galvin at 254-855-7387 to see if you qualify to save up to 40% on your auto insurance.
Coverage and discounts are subject to qualifications and policy terms and may vary by situation.
Listen to ESPN Central Texas online at CentexSportsFan.com.
Okay, so what's the most important part about your house? Nope, it's not that bar or even the man cave. Think about it. The most important thing is your roof. It has to withstand all that Mother Nature can throw your way. So it makes sense to have the best. McAdams & Sons Roofing is your first choice when it comes to protecting your valuable asset. Experienced professionals using only the best materials. So for new construction, re-roofs, repairs, or remodels, for composition and metal roofs, think McAdams & Sons Roofing first. And now McAdams & Sons Roofing are installing seamless gutters. They're insured and an A-plus rating on the BBB. McAdams & Sons Roofing will come out, take a look at your roof, and handle all the insurance process for you. Don't let any fly-by-night company look at your roof. Let a real professional you trust do the work for you. Put McAdams & Sons over 40 years of experience to go to work for you all over Central Texas. Check them out online at McAdamsRoofing.com or give them a call at 254-799-2949 because you don't want a kid with your house's lid.
Central Texas sports fans want the inside scoop, live shows, and nonstop local sports action. Tap that app with Syntex Sports Fan app and SyntexSportsFan.com. You've got ESPN Central Texas in your pocket. Live shows? Got them. Podcasts on demand. Locked in. Breaking sports news. Delivered fast. So whether you're tailgating, working out, or on the move, tap that app and stay in the game 24/7. Download it now on the App Store or Google Play. SyntexSportsFan.com. That's Syntex Sports Fan app where Central Texas sports lives.
Find sports news, streaming, and show podcasts at SyntexSportsFan.com.
And welcome back to the Press Box here on ESPN Central Texas. College football coming up this weekend, starting tomorrow night, NC State and Wake Forest. Do anything for you, Jacob?
Not really. I'm going to be at the Baylor game versus Samford.
Not tomorrow night, you won't.
Well, I'm just saying that's the game that I'm going to be having all my attention on. So, not really. You know, when I'm working and doing a lot of Baylor stuff, I'm just kind of, you know, just focusing on that game and just let everything else just go in the breeze.
Wow, I couldn't do that.
And then also that's a little bit because you know the NFL is back and you know any chance that there's NFL football, I'm going to take it unless there's a huge college.
You like NFL over college?
Only if there's a huge college football matchup, I'm going to watch it. But if there's not, you know, like week one for college football, I was all over it because there were so many great matchups. And when there's not a lot of headline matchups, then, yeah, I'll see what the NFL's got going on.
I'd rather watch Buffalo and Miami of Ohio than watch an NFL game.
That's not a bad take. I know college football is.
I'd rather watch an NFL game over almost every college football game except Baylor,
yeah,
or something huge like Ohio State, Texas. Other than that, I prefer NFL.
I like college football better.
I
like
not
NFL
a bad take.
Too.
It's not a bad take at all.
I like the NFL as well. Don't get me wrong, it's the elite of the elite, but I love college football. I think there's so many different storylines and pageantry in college football. The only thing that has changed it a little bit is college football really college football anymore with the NIL?
It's basically semi-pro.
Yeah.
Yep.
I don't even know how much you say semi-pro, but like they've got salaries. They slot players now, kind of like the rookie
changed.
Draft. Yeah.
Yeah, it's free agency.
Yep. You know how much a top quarterback goes for in NIL.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's common knowledge. Some go for more or some go for less, but you know the range.
Yeah, absolutely.
You're making the big bucks. That's for sure.
100%.
It's changed.
Some of them are making more than their NFL counterpart.
You take
a pay cut
to go in the NFL.
Look at
Quinn Ewers did.
Quinn Ewers.
A big pay cut to go to the NFL.
And he's the third string. I think it's Zach Wilson in front of him, and then Tua. But, yeah, isn't that crazy? I mean, you could be making millions of dollars there in college football. And then your NFL career isn't very lengthy, doesn't really have a bright future. You take a pay cut. Hey, you're sitting on the bench in the NFL. You're still making money, but you gotta really be thankful that you were making the money that you were in college football, especially if you're in the position like you were, that you're sitting on the bench.
Yeah, I think it's ridiculous. Absolutely. Yep. It's silly. I mean, I don't make it while you can and take advantage of what you can take advantage of. I'm all for that. I mean, if they're going to give it to you, don't turn it down. But, I mean, I think it's hurt college football in a little bit. And in some ways, it's helped college football. It's certainly leveled the playing field. There's no doubt about that.
Mm-hmm.
To how much of an nth degree, I don't know. But it's certainly different now. And you have teams that you would have looked at 4 years ago and said, well, there's no way they can compete anywhere close to being competitive on the field with so-and-so. And that's not the case anymore. I mean, there's teams out there that are starting to be able to level that play field. With NIL, let me ask you this, Aaron and Jacob. Without NIL, would Indiana be at number 22 in the country in football ever?
Maybe. I mean, 22, you know, like top five? Not in my lifetime.
No. I don't even know. I mean, top 25 for Indiana is pretty good.
SMU wouldn't.
No.
I mean, that's without a doubt because we have every season since the death penalty. And look, this isn't a shot at SMU. It's just facts. Like, the death penalty just destroyed that program. And the only way they can make it relevant again was to pay players. And they got that opportunity when NIL started. And they took, not only did they take advantage of it and get great players and got to the playoffs last year,
mm-hmm.
they took advantage of it to buy their way into a major conference. I mean, got to give SMU a ton of credit.
Absolutely.
For using NIL to turn a program that they would have never been able to turn around under the old rules. They were just too wounded even 30 years later, which is crazy.
Well, yeah, they were. I mean, they had some seasons where they were okay.
7-4.
But they were not back to the pinnacle of where SMU was when they got shut down.
100%. They were not beating top teams.
No. And we're never going to. Just wasn't going to happen.
I just think the whole NIL deal situation is a double-edged sword, and I think you summed it up pretty well, Ward. I mean, there are good things coming out of it, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the biggest thing is that you're leveling the playing field. You got the big SEC schools that are, you know, you can look them in the eyes now. A lot of these schools that weren't known as big football championship caliber schools, now they are because of their roster and how much they're paying these guys to get on their team. You know, nowadays it's these players coming in and choosing a team because of how much they're going to get paid, not how many rings they're going to get.
Right.
I mean, that's the reality, right? And I think that has helped things, and it's hard things too, because now you got players that are chasing the money. Not all of them. Don't get me wrong. Not all of them. But that seems to be the stereotype now in college football.
It's different. It's a whole different landscape, and I don't know how long that this is going to turn to where we see the teams play, well, like Nebraska has Houston Christian this week. Baylor has Samford this week. And I know that those games are going to continue to be on the schedule because they help those schools get their NIL money. But I also think that part of this is if it continues to benefit those smaller schools and they get better players, how many of those cupcakes are going to remain on the schedule in the non-district? I mean in non-conference. I don't know. It may always be like that, but I got a feeling if there's a chance that you may get knocked off like Army did from Tarleton State University, that you may think twice about, okay, we don't need this cupcake. We need a little bit more of a challenge that could help our rankings.
Yeah, even if we lose. Yeah, right.
In the end.
Because, like, I mean, you look at what Baylor did. They played against Auburn. I mean, definitely not the best team that the SEC has to offer, but a great one.
An SEC team, and that means something today.
Yeah.
And they're better than they have been. They have taken advantage of NIL to close the gap as well. Like, I can't wait for Auburn and Alabama this year. Well, War Eagle.
Jackson Arnold did a great job.
Well, and this week, Auburn's number 24.
And
they wouldn't be 24 without the win over Baylor.
Right, and underranked probably.
Yeah, I think so.
Especially after Baylor's win over SMU.
And then
also pretty darn good. That's not like that's an SMU team that's going to compete for the ACC championship again. And Baylor went on the road and beat them. That's a pretty great win.
Yeah, and Baylor is a direct example of that, right? I mean, you fill up your non-conference schedule with some hard matchups, and good things will come out of it. I mean, they could have gone 0-2 out of it. And, yeah, that could have hurt them a little bit. But you look at who they played. Oh, they played Auburn and then SMU. Those are two teams that could potentially be in the playoffs, right? If they went 0-2 losing against two cupcake teams, oh, boy, that's – oh, wow. Everyone's saying, oh, that's not good. This isn't the Baylor team that we thought. But you play those hard matchups. Even if you lose, you get some good things out of it. And we saw that with the Auburn loss. We saw Baylor reshape a couple things. You know, they were able to reestablish the running game, something that they weren't able to do against Auburn. Of course, that does depend on different defenses and matchups that you're going against in the next matchup. But you take things that didn't work in one loss, and you build upon it, and that's what they did in the SMU game, and now they're 1-1 with that win being against a really great SMU playoff caliber team, and now you have your layup against Samford, and you give Sawyer Robertson a chance to put up another 400 yards. This would be his third consecutive week of doing that, and then the Heisman talk is going to start rolling in after
really
that.
Count this one?
Oh, probably not, but hey, no. Stats, hey. You can stat pad, baby, and he'll be doing that.
Yeah. I don't know. And that Auburn loss is going to look maybe different at the end of the year. I don't know, but they've got a tough one laying out in front of them. Oklahoma, Texas A&M, Georgia, Missouri, and also Alabama in their schedule. Mix in Arkansas. You don't know where they're going to be at that time, but – they've got a tough SEC schedule coming up, and Oklahoma may be better than we thought they were, and they may be worse than we thought they were. We don't know what Michigan is, so a big win for OU over the weekend. All right, that's going to do it for the Press Box. Stay